This Rugby League report is brought to you by Volkswagen Amarok, the most powerful ute in its class.
Nice to have your company on this Wednesday morning, 7 minutes after 8 o'clock. TK and Loz, the final hour of the program. Then it's Racing HQ, and we look forward to that. Again, there's always big meetings coming up. We've got Doomben on this weekend. We've also got the Goodwood down there in Adelaide. But most importantly, a jockey in his former life, I'm led to believe. Dean Ritchie from the Daily Telegraph joins us now as a rugby league writer.
A fat one.
Good morning, Bulldog.
That's a lovely start, isn't it?
Just charming.
I come in here
nice.
Crack of dawn, and that's how you treat me.
five past eight.
You I was up in? At five to prepare.
You live 5 minutes away.
No, I do not.
What's happening, Bulldog? What's on the radar at the moment out at Parramatta?
Well, certainly the last couple of days have been dominated by the Eels. Brad Arthur, of course, re-signing. I interviewed Brad Arthur yesterday afternoon, and, of course, his first thought was, yes, I'm glad to be back, and then on to Gutherson.
I need players.
And Moses, correct. So, look, he's spoken to Gutherson. He's hoping he'll get there sometime in the next couple of weeks, but you know, I'm hearing...
What do you mean, couple of weeks?
Well, he's hoping to get it done in the next week or two.
I thought deadline Friday.
Well, the deadline's getting a bit rubbery now, Tico. There was some speculation around yesterday that the Eels...
Oh, I hope they don't go rubbery on it.
...haven't
don't
or
go
won't...
rubbery.
No.
...or won't proceed with it.
Why? Has there been some backlash
possibly,
from the fans or something?
I just get the feeling that the Parramatta camp and the Gutherson-Sam Ayoub camp are actually a fair way apart. It's becoming a little bit personal now. I think there's a bit of animosity there. There's a bit of acrimony there now. Yep. And when you're trying to do a deal, you don't want any personal feelings to get in the way because it can obviously hinder negotiations. Yep. So, look, I don't think Clint Gutherson's across the line by any means at Parramatta. Brad Arthur is a lure and an attraction, but I don't think it's done yet by any means. And I think you'll find Manly are still circling to some degree.
How seriously are Manly in targeting Gutherson and... where would they play him? Because obviously he's not going to play fullback with Tommy Trbojevic there.
Look, Manly is denying it, Laurie. I'll be up front about that. They've been quite clear in saying they haven't, but it is the speculation that just won't quite leave rugby league.
Yep.
And generally where there's speculation, there's a little bit of truth there. Look, I'm sure if he went to Manly, I think you'd find Des would play him at six. That would be the position I think he would play. The Gutherson situation, though, is he's number one at Parramatta. He'd be number three or four at Manly. Whether that impacts on Gutherson's decision, I guess, depends on his ego. But certainly, if you had Cherry Evans, Trbojevic and Gutherson and Fainu at Manly, you suddenly got a fair spine going.
Would it be the first blow for Brad Arthur? Because when you sign your head coach, when you re-sign your head coach in a show of faith, you expect that you have a star player like that. They want to be coached by that head coach, particularly when we hear so often about this great relationship between Brad Arthur and Clint Gutherson. Parramatta officials who show that faith in Brad Arthur, that would be a setback for them if they then lost Clint Gutherson. Because there would be an expectation, you know, said or not, that one goes with the other.
He has said numerous times, hasn't he, TK?
The power of a coach is attracting players too.
Yeah, and giving them what they believe they're worth. Look, Brad Arthur can't go to Parramatta and say, well, listen, give him $750,000, $800,000.
Well, how can Manly pay him any more than what Parramatta can play, where he's the star attraction along with Mitch Moses, right? Then there's a little bit, there's daylight, right? Compared to Manly, where you've got, you know, retention of the Trbojevic boys coming up, you've still got Walker there, you've got other Daly Cherry Evans there on $1 million+.
Well, there were some suggestions that Dylan Walker would be leaving the club. They won't offer Dylan another contract at the end of this season, and therefore his money will be
like
going
for like.
To
available.
Like for like.
Yeah.
With the Gutherson situation too, look, at the moment, it's affecting teammates. Parramatta officials have told me numerous times, whether they're pushing out a bit of propaganda, I don't know. You've got to try to wade through what's right and what's wrong in these negotiations because both sides try to take the upper hand in terms of PR. But if you believe them, they're saying that some players are just starting to get a little bit frustrated at the headlines, the drama, the limelight, and they're saying, you know, it's all about Gutho, where Mitch Moses, conversely, is going about his negotiations very quietly in the background. Rumours continued yesterday about Moses and Brisbane, but I'd still be surprised if that actually worked out.
I'd be not surprised. The only thing I'd be sort of concerned with, I think if you're a big name going to Brisbane, you need to be a Queenslander. I don't think you can have a big name being in your key position as a New South Welshman. Does that make sense to you or not? I don't know whether the Broncos supporters and Queenslanders in general will be accepting of that.
It's this simple. You'll get taken to the bosom of the Brisbane Broncos fans if the ticks in the win column start and you go to the club. Mm. Now, if the ticks in the L column start, I can tell you what, they'll turn on you.
You were
like
the first bloke.
There's been some great New South Welshmen that have gone to
the
Brisbane
Broncos.
I don't
think they really care.
They don't win a premiership without Lazo there and all that sort of stuff.
But in that key position, that marquee player that you're after.
They'd rather have a Queenslander.
They'd rather have a Queenslander.
They're different up there. You
know? Well, that's what I mean. You know,
I don't think they really care, Laurie. That's my opinion. If they're winning premierships, I don't think they particularly care. Once you go across the border, you become a Queenslander anyway. Yeah. You're suddenly one of them.
Yeah, well,
they embrace you.
They turned on Jack Bird pretty quickly.
They did. But now this year, they were embracing him again.
But he hasn't set the world
on
fire.
Yeah, but if Mitch Moses was there at the start of the year, how do you reckon he'd be travelling now? He'd be the blame. They'd be blaming him for everything that was going wrong. That's how they operate.
I disagree with that theory.
That's how they'd operate.
I can't. What about the foot of the Blue Mountains? We've discussed it all this week, really, that Ivan Cleary, he really had to make some changes. He's dropped two Origin stroke internationals, Regan Campbell-Gillard, and then also Josh Mansour are both gone. Big names at the Penrith Panthers. Had to happen, really, didn't it?
I heard you guys a few moments ago saying it had to happen, and I think he had to make a stance with some big names. You couldn't just drop a couple of fringes.
You couldn't just drop a winger either.
Yeah, which he did. But look, the interesting one at Penrith, guys, and I've probably got a different view here to a lot of people. Does Nathan Cleary deserve to be in the Origin side this year? That's debatable. You could say they've invested in him. He is the future. I get that scenario. But he's under a lot of pressure. He's 21. He's played under excruciating pressure now for 2 years. His body language isn't great. His form isn't great. And his team isn't going great. Does he need the pressure of Origin? Or do you say to Nathan, look, you're not in good nick. You've got 12 years left in this game. We're going to overlook you this year for your own benefit. Go away, play some good footy elsewhere at Penrith quietly, and then get about your business. And then we'll look at you again. Are you doing him a favour by not picking him? Or is that argument?
He might not get another shot at it.
He may not.
Ever. I don't want it. Yeah, it's like...
You may ruin his confidence, and that's always been the
thing.
What
if he goes into Origin and stuffs up, Laurie? Then his confidence
he
is absolutely rock bottom.
I think he'd thrive in that
He's not the stuff-up sort of player.
He's a steady player, and I think he does his job, as he did last year. He did his job, and New South Wales won, and he wasn't a standout, but he did his job, and he was effective. So I think he could carry... Nathan, I think if anyone from Penrith is going to be selected, it will be him. I don't think they will go with Jimmy or Campbell-Gillard. Although, having said that, with Campbell-Gillard, there's not many front rowers to choose from. You've got to remember last year they used Jake Trbojevic off the interchange bench as a front rower. I'd expect him to be in the starting side this year. But it's certainly a good debate because Adam Reynolds is playing good football. Cody Walker's playing
Cleary's
good football.
There, right?
Luke Brooks is probably the other guy that hasn't got a mention, but is playing some really good football as well. Mitchell Moses. So they've got a few options there.
What state of mind do you think Nathan Cleary is in at the moment? He's a good young kid. He seems relatively composed, but he's got all these things going on in the background, not to mention the weekly link to his father, which obviously would impact on him to some degree. What mental state is he in at the moment, do you think, Laurie? You've been a young kid who's come through the grades. What pressure is he under? And would Origin damage him by putting him on that stage again? Or do you think maybe getting him out of Penrith into that environment might benefit him?
The latter for mine. I think getting him out of the environment he's in at the moment, just to clear his head, a different group of players, a different message from a different coach. And I think sometimes it just gives them that bit of a freshen up. And I think that he's the type of kid that would thrive in that new environment to get him away from where he is at the moment. I just think that would clear his head a lot more. He feels... I don't know him at all. He strikes me as a kid that would work really hard on his game and be level-headed. But you can't not help think that he is struggling because of the amount of pressure. Even if he's not reading it or on social media... people would be checking in with him all the time. How are you, mate? How are you feeling? Don't worry about what other people are saying. And you go, well, what are they saying? So you can't get away from it. That's the hardest.
It's that famous line I once asked Ricky Stewart. First question in the interview, I said, Ricky, are you paranoid? He said, who said that about me?
That's right. How long have they been saying that for? Now, George Burgess. Yeah. I just thought these boys would play together forever. But he hasn't got that deal yet. With the South Sydney Rabbitohs. Will he get that deal yet for the South Sydney? He was an awesome sight when he broke clear on the weekend, wasn't he, back at Suncorp?
Yeah, no, TK. As I understand it, he won't be at South next year. I think the decision has been made. George has got some ongoing injuries, most notably a hip injury. There's a bit of scuttlebutt that he may be forced into early retirement. George came out and fiercely denied that. As I understand, he's got two NRL offers and two offers in Super League. I think there's some big coin over there in England for him to go home. I think his first preference would be to stay in Australia, where he's got his mum and his brothers around him and family. But look, if that means going to England to get some big coin toward the end of his career, I guess that's what he'll do.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it, with George Burgess? I know you mentioned the fact that he was carrying an injury or had an injury that they were really concerned about, but the way he's playing, you wouldn't think that anything was wrong with him. He's there as a good battering ram for South Sydney, and they'll certainly be hard to beat.
I wrote a piece this morning, guys, and I'd be interested to get your thoughts. James Roberts, the New South Wales camp have said that they may not pick him quite clearly, but they haven't written him off. There is a theory out there that Anthony Seibold doesn't rate him at the moment, but they do. He did the job for them last year. We know what he's capable of. Michael Jennings was plucked out of the Windsor Wolves in 2012 by Ricky Stewart. Is it possible to pick a bloke in this day and age from reserve grade to play State of Origin? Is it dicing with death, or is it a bloke that you think can do the job? You know he's world class. He should be given that chance as an incumbent.
A couple of things. He won't have played 2 weeks in a row.
He's supposed to play this weekend,
but
Laurie, he's got no visa.
Well, visa.
He won't have played for two weeks.
Yeah, so he won't have played for 2 weeks. James is, he always looks tired during a game, to me. I don't know whether it's the injury he's carrying, but sometimes he always just looks a little bit underdone. I'd have concerns, given that he hasn't played, and his form's not great. And I don't know whether you could justify picking him, because I think when Jennings got dropped, I don't think it was form-related. I think it was more turned up or disciplinary reasons. I couldn't pick James if he's not playing and showing me good enough form.
No. If you don't pick him, Laurie, there's not a lot left. And I say that with all due respects. Speaking to the right people yesterday, the other two that they're looking at are Josh Morris and possibly Mitchell Orbison, who would be a little bit of a bolter, I guess. But you know what you're going to get from Mitch. He's steady. He's been reliable, and he's been an NRL player since 2007.
Well, you know what you get from Josh.
Josh Morris, exactly right.
Josh has left, but he has played right in Origin before, up against GI, of course.
Oh, the guy that I'd trust out of those three would be Josh Morris. Yeah. And then he's been there, he's done it before. He wouldn't be overawed, and you could get a series out of him. But James Roberts, he needs to play well in that final game before Origin selection, because I think it'd be a big risk to pick someone not having played first grade for 3 weeks.
Just a quick one.
And he's had a period of time out of the game in the lead up to that South Sydney game as well. So basically, he would have only played one game.
Yeah.
In 6 weeks. That's too much of a
would
risk.
Would he love to come back, though, and give it to Seibold?
Well, you'd think
it'd be
so.
The ultimate
sometimes
revenge.
Sometimes you can't.
You'd think so. You'd like to think that would be his attitude, but who knows? Just quickly, mate, before we've got to let you go. Ponga up there in Newcastle. The Knights have won 3 matches in a row, so they're on a little bit of a roll. He's happy up there, isn't he?
He is, TK. Yeah, they're working toward a 2-year extension. Mind you, he's not off contract until the end of 21, so he's already locked down for the next 2.5 years. But, of course, they see him as a franchise player.
Yeah.
They'll try and get him to a new 2-year deal, along with possibly Jesse Ramien. Still the whispers up there that he's a bit unsettled.
Give him the ball.
But, yeah, but Newcastle want to not only settle him down, but then also extend. Yeah.
You get good Manly mail. Any chance Tommy Trbojevic back next week? Because if he's back, I'd select Tommy with one game under his belt for Origin.
I've heard no, Laurie. It won't be next week.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
No. And he did come back, got through the game. Then it was the second week his hamstring went again. So I guess they're a little bit... they probably were keeping him on ice and don't want him. They
you
want
know,
him.
Des is like, you won't care about Origin.
I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that clubs are selfish, but I reckon.
No, you can understand.
He's a priority for Manly.
Des's point of view, though, as well.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks, Bulldog.
Thank you, TK. Thank you, Lawrence.